Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Can't remember the day that officially started, but a lot of it happened before it officially started.
Well, it was the 14th, right?
Was it like that Wednesday,
yeah,
I think?
March 14th. Like yeah. This has been just a flurry of activity in the NFL, and the Redskins haven't been involved in that much. Made their presser with Alex Smith and Paul Richardson, but it's been a pretty quiet, I would say, free agency period for the Redskins, but now apparently they are talking to a few defensive players.
Well, Jonathan Hankins, and John, as soon as we get John on, he'll know all about him because he's an Ohio State guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Hankins is only 25, 26, Ohio State stud, former second-round pick out of Ohio State. And really, sounds like the only reason why the Colts are letting him go is because they're switching from a 4-3
he doesn't fit,
to a 3-4.
Huh?
He doesn't fit, but we run a 3-4, but he's so good, they find a place for him.
That doesn't make any sense. So why wouldn't the Colts find a place for him?
Well, they
well
just
I
got
think
a
he's
bunch
also
draft
due
picks.
About $9 million a year.
They just got a bunch of draft picks, and they're going to draft a bunch of defensive players.
Well, I get it, but he's 25. It's not like he's 35.
I know.
Right. All right, well, John can answer this for us. John Keim, of course, from ESPN.com. John, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good, guys. How are you?
Doing great. Well. So let's just start off right away with this Hankins guy. I'm intrigued. I assume you know a lot about him. I know you're a big Ohio State guy. And 25, 26 years old, he had just signed a $27 million deal. And from what I'm reading, was a guy really the only really why they're moving on beyond the high salaries that they're switching from a 4-3 to a 3-4. Well, we run a 3-4. But is he just so good?
Well, they're switching to a different type of 4-3. So they're still running a 4-3.
Okay.
But what they want are defensive tackles who are a little bit smaller and quicker.
Okay.
So it's just a different style of a 4-3. And people I've talked to over there said that yeah, he did play well, and it was as I don't want to say as simple as that because it was a way that they could, you know, if you don't want to pay a guy like him that much money, well, they could cut him and there's no penalty because of the way his contract was structured. But yeah, it was because it was a different style of a 4-3.
Gotcha. And then
football players are still hard to come by.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm surprised that they're.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt. If you want a guy who's maybe instead of 340, 330, you want guys who are 300, he's not going to fit. And so then he does become an expensive guy for you. Now, listen, if it's Aaron Donald, you're not going to cut Aaron Donald. You know, it does sound like a scheme fit thing because it does sound like he was actually productive last year. And he was productive with the Giants as well in a 4-3. So he is the guy that, I mean, obviously there's an Ohio State thing, but I always liked him when he was at the Giants too, because I thought he was a good player for them, surrounded by good talent. I agree with you. If you're that good, you're going to stick around. But I think they just viewed him as having a skill set that didn't match what they wanted to do, and he was inexpensive.
Hmm. Well, so if they go after a Hankins, does that take them out of the mix for a guy like a Vita Vea in the draft at 13? If Hankins signs, hypothetically, what direction do you see them going with the draft pick? Do they trade out of it and try to accumulate more picks? Do they stay pat at 13? What do you think happens there?
That's a good question. I was trying to figure that out yesterday a little bit because, they've already solved inside linebacker by bringing back Zach Brown. So you don't need to get a Roquan Smith or someone like that. If they get one of these corners, do you then draft one of the corners there, whether it's Denzel Ward, Josh Jackson, one of those guys? If you get, like, say, Orlando Scandrick or if Dominic Rogers-Cromartie comes, do you feel that need to, you know, not even so much a need, but would you go in that direction? I know running back is still clearly a priority for them, and left guard. They need to find a left guard somehow, and there's really there aren't a lot of good options in free agency. They might bring back Sean Laval, but it's also a spot where you could probably address that not necessarily at 13 unless Quentin Nelson somehow falls. So my thing would be you could see a trade back. Now, every year we hear teams want to trade back. Every year you hear that with almost every team. And so it's hard to do, but I think that would be, if you want a running back, 13 might be a little bit too high. But if you can trade back several spots, then you can get another pick. Maybe you can get a Darius Geis there and feel more comfortable with that.
Tell us about the other guys that they're bringing in. Scandrick, who else?
Pernell McPhee.
All three of these guys have been cut by their previous team. So for those worrying about the compensatory picks, it would not count against that. But McPhee and Scandrick both have durability / health issues over the last several years. So, you know, you can get guys who have had success in the past, but there's the durability concern. McPhee would be a pass rusher on the outside. Again, productive when healthy, it seemed, but healthy was a problem. And has some versatility, was with the Ravens, if you remember, got the big deal with the Bears. When he was with the Ravens, he played kind of a role where you do use like a Trent Murphy or Preston Smith at times, where outside at, you know, big guy, 275 pounds, could play him outside in a 3-4 rushing there, or you could move him inside in certain packages. And then Scandrick would help them fill that slot corner position. And again, he was good when he was healthy, but he's had trouble staying healthy over the years, the last couple of years. So that's the one knock there. But those are the roles those guys would fill. McPhee, you know, they're clearly looking for that backup pass rusher with Murphy gone and then Junior Gallette still on the market.
John, I saw in your article that Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie is looking to wait until April to make his decision as to where he's going to sign. Why is he going to take like 10 days to make that decision?
That's a good question. And Justina Anderson reported that. All I know is that he's going to wait that long, that he had told her that he was going to wait that long. Sometimes things get pushed a little bit. Your timetables change based on certain things. It could be you just waiting to see how other things fall out. I don't know, because as you see, guys start to get released around this time as teams start to sign players. So it may be that he wants to help. Maybe he's hoping that he can increase his market by waiting another week or two as teams release more guys.
Are we getting into, with some of these guys, are we getting into to like Terrell McLean, Stacy McGee territory? We're bringing in guys. We're going to give them a deal. They're free agents, but don't expect too much.
You know, well, don't forget those guys were signed early in free agency. So, you know, that was a, interesting, the guys that the last few years, they've gotten guys like a Josh Norman later. Zach Brown was a little bit later, mm-hmm. but he was later, not because he was released or anything like that, but because his market didn't develop the way he wanted. DeSean Jackson was later. So I think there's always that secondary market on free agency, and we're entering that phase where it's guys who have been released or guys who you may be more bargain shopping. And I think that's what they're looking for, bargains. And I think Hankins is in a different category because he was just released.
If he had been on the market,
he's a guy to go after because of his age and what he can do. But the other ones, Scandrick, McPhee, I think guys like that, you're trying to find a good veteran who's at a bargain price.
They knew who they were going to lose, right? Like most of them. I don't know that they necessarily thought they were going to lose Trent Murphy, but they knew they were going to. They were ready. A year ago, they decided Niles Paul was his last year. Spencer Long was his last year. Bashaud Breeland was his last year. I think the ones that maybe surprised them a little, not that his death, you know, was Ryan Grant, Trent Murphy, right?
Yeah, because I know, like with Trent, Trent they wanted to bring back, but you're not going to pay $7 per year for a backup linebacker, which is what he is for them, and they just had drafted Ryan Anderson as well. And so, you know, they need to see him develop, and he definitely needs to develop as a pass rusher, but so did Trent Murphy after his first 2 years. Murphy still had to develop. And same with Ryan Grant. I mean, we know how much, not just Jay Gruden, but I know how much Ike Hilliard loves the guy. But at that cost, which what he got from Baltimore initially before the whole physical whatever, that was just way too much that they're going to pay for him. So, yeah, I think those are the ones at the end of the year I thought, okay, there's a good chance. And same with Zach Brown. You knew that they had already made the offer to him and that they wanted him back just at the price point. But, you know, I knew that of those free agents, that the two guys that they liked the most were Trent Murphy and Ryan Grant.
Where does this leave now? What's the latest? Maybe I missed it overnight. What's the latest with Junior Gallette? I would assume this improves his chances of coming back.
Well, it depends what happens with McPhee, because if they signed him, now you have four outside linebackers. And depending on what they listen, I don't know. You know, all I know is that McPhee is coming in. I don't know like what role they would envision for him as opposed to someone else. But that would give them four outside linebackers with Anderson. So I, you know, if you're Junior Gallette, do you want to come back in the spot where you have? You know, he wants more chances. Now you're having another guy in the mix there. I know that there was an offer made to him. I know he was frustrated with the offer. And so, you know, where it stands, I don't know. I don't think the market is quite developed for him the way that he had hoped. But, you know, he is 30 years old, and teams will always use whatever they can against you to get the price down. And for him, it's going to be, you know, his past and his age. And I thought he was a good pass rusher. I thought he put some good rushes this year. Probably more of a situational guy at this point, but he still was effective last year. And so I think he'll obviously end up somewhere, and it wouldn't surprise me if he comes back here. I know this is where he wants to be, and so it could still happen. I don't know, like, if McPhee signs here, that he'd want to come back here just because, again, now you already have four guys in the mix, and he's trying to get as much as he can.
Talking Redskins with John Keim, who covers the Redskins for ESPN and ESPN.com. I know Doug Williams has said they're going to address the situation at running back, very unhappy with the production.
He has said that a number of times, too.
Yeah, he says it over and over, but I'm just wondering, is anybody left in free agency to address the situation?
No, and it is funny because if you ask Doug, how was your lunch today? My lunch was great. I promise you we're going to find a running back. So he is dropping that line a few times. So the draft is really good. Excuse me. The draft is really good for running backs. And I think that's where they'll go. I know, and talked to some people, you know, a week or two ago that there were some free agents they liked, but the fear was having to pay $5 or $6 million a year for a guy who's already, you know, who's been in the league for 4 or 5 years when you can get maybe a comparable talent level for a lot cheaper in the draft. And I think we've seen that guys can come in and make an impact. So it's a good draft. The fear is, and this is why I talked about trading back, between they pick 13 and 44. That might be between the sweet spot of the guys you really like, you know, and there's a handful of guys there, but there's a, you know, would there be a run on running backs? Once Geis goes, are there going to be other teams that are going to now look to get guys? I don't know, but that would be a fear. But I think that's where the draft has always been a thing. And I think the fact that they didn't really go hard after it in free agency suggests that there are a number of guys in the draft that they like and feel like they have a good chance at landing.
So what are your thoughts on, so Rogers Cromartie was in town last weekend, didn't sign. And then now Skandrick is someone they're going to bring in. What are your thoughts on those two guys? I was a little surprised that they were in on Cromartie just because of his age, but I don't know, maybe he can still play a little bit.
Yeah, I was a little bit too, excuse me, it's, he can fill a role with the covering in the slot. He's also has some versatility, you know, and he did a pretty good job in the slot for the Giants at times. So I don't know that he's ever been considered a physical outside corner, which they might want, but I don't think that would be his role anyways. Clearly, he hasn't received the offer he was hoping for because he's still unsigned. I don't think he's waiting till April if he finds a really good offer now. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's some sort of a very, very small deal for Washington just because of his age. You don't want to invest too much there, and I think that's why they've been reluctant to bring in some older guys. And the same with in Skandrick, again, you know, he basically rose up as a slot corner. So that would be his role here as well. But the number one issue for him would be the durability. And, you know, you know, that's it. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to pay a ton for for – you're certainly not going to pay a ton for him because he would be a backup slash slot corner. So they have that role that they need to fill. And I think – here's the other thing. I wouldn't give him a big deal because what if – you know, what if you see Josh Holsey's developing in there and now you're tied to a 30-year-old guy for 3 years? Well, that's – I just don't see that happening. You know, I think this is going to be – this would be insurance in case – Holsey or Moreau or someone else can't play inside, but it certainly gives them the ability to develop further while maybe, you know, getting some productive play out of a veteran for a year.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate it as always.
All right, guys.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Talk to you soon.
John Keim giving us the skinny. I hope they get the Hankins. I feel like that would be a good sign.
I would think so.
Relatively young guys, been productive.
Now these other guys, McPhee and Skandrick, not interested.
I think the Colts were due to pay him like a $4.5 million bonus if he was on the roster as of this Sunday. And they said, you're finished.
Yeah.
Don't want to pay
Dude,
you that
like
money
25,
at all.
25, 26 years old.
I know. Young, yeah. Former second round pick.
You get a 25-year-old who's been productive.
Yeah. Ohio State, Philly. Yeah,
exactly.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
So we're just talking about what's going on in Austin, and I don't know that it's getting a ton of national attention, but it's starting to build because there have been now four different explosions since March 2nd. So on March 2nd, it was the first explosion which killed a 39-year-old man. It was a package. And then about 10 days later, there were two more packages, two separate explosions, which I think left one other person dead, another one severely injured. And then the most recent one this weekend was a little bit different because it wasn't a package at a home. Apparently, it was on the side of the street. And I read there was a tripwire involved.
Apparently, it was a package bomb that detonated as the men passed on bikes. So maybe the bikes they were riding tripped the tripwire and set off the explosion. It's crazy.
How many different attacks have there been?
Four.
And four.
Packages. I mean, we get 2 to 3 Amazon packages a day.
Oh, absolutely. I'm in the same boat. Is a day that goes by, there isn't some form of package on my front step. That's an outlier.
Jason, that's where I get wrecked because I don't do any of that. None of the packages that come to my house are ordered by me.
Right.
So you don't open?
They're all ordered by your wife.
So your wife is going to be the one that blows up?
Well, no, because I might pick up the packages. I'm just saying, you know how Jason always gets bitter with his wife's spending? Just know it's cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Mm-hmm. Believe me, the UPS guy and the FedEx guy are at my cul-de-sac three times a week.
They're no strangers. Can you imagine something as innocent as opening an envelope or opening a package and then it blows up in your face? I mean, it's terrifying.
And they've got no suspects.
No, if you're living there, you're freaking out because, I mean, this is somewhat similar to what we dealt with the sniper.
Yeah.
When we had to deal with the sniper, I remember getting gas after the show. We were a nighttime show. And I remember getting gas after the show, and everybody was talking about zigzagging and this and that.
Sure.
And I remember just having my head on a swivel. I had to get gas.
All of us, too, were looking for the out-of-the-way gas stations that weren't near, like, major interstates. Because when the snipers would fire on somebody at a gas station, they would always hop out on like 95 or 66. It was always close to like a major highway. So I thought I stumbled upon a bonanza when I found a place, just a gas station that basically nobody knew about. I was like, well, there's no chance the snipers are going to strike here. It's in New Hampshire Avenue. It's tucked off the side of the road. It's not near the Beltway.
But a package now, the people in Austin.
Now it's coming right to your home.
They're told, if you see a suspicious package, don't pick it up. But if it's at your home, I mean, what is a suspicious package? If you're getting packages every day.
Well, if it didn't come from the post office, right? If it's just a package. If the post office is clearing it, those guys are going to be blown. They're
okay,
handling
but
it.
The post office, there's UPS, there's FedEx.
Right, exactly. If those guys are handling the package, they're going to blow up. So if it's a package, it doesn't look like it has the proper mailing
address.
So you
address. Want to see Amazon on there or something.
Or something.
How tough is that? Do you know how many Amazon boxes we have stored?
Well, you know.
So that you can, like, wrap presents?
Look,
is
these
repurposed?
Things probably look a little bit different. They probably do.
Maybe. I know you said there's cameras everywhere, but I don't know if it's a bunch of people's cul-de-sacs. Are there really cameras? Like, do you have cameras in your cul-de-sac? Probably not.
Not unless you have that ring device or whatever that is.
Yeah.
That you attach to your, I mean, I don't have any cameras.
By the way, I would expect if a person
I'm
is
not
going
sure if
to
my neighbors do.
If someone's going to the length of mailing bombs, they're probably making the package look pretty professional. Like, if they're
right.
going to that sort of length.
Well, if they had a tripwire, they're definitely planners.
Oh, absolutely. If you're gonna go through all the steps it takes to construct the bomb, you're not just going to sloppily put together the package that's housing it.
Now,
you're
I read
probably going to make it look pretty good.
They're going through hundreds of leads.
Yeah.
But this has been going on again since March 2nd.
I've got a buddy who lives in Austin. I got to talk to him and find out what the deal is.
Well, Cake said that there might be a theme involved.
I mean, I saw on Twitter that it sounds like the bombs are targeting, at least the first three bombs were targeting
minorities,
prominent black families in the Austin area.
Yeah.
So that's another scary
angle as well. I thought it was black
or
Hispanic. I thought it might have been Hispanic.
I don't know. It could be as well.
Yeah, I think so. It's just terrifying. I don't know. It's just, you know. But I would think they're going to catch you, guy. How can you be dropping off packages? There are cameras everywhere. They're going to catch this guy. You know,
no, but as you said, if you're in neighborhoods and you're just cul-de-sacs, like there's probably not cameras on right in front of your house.
No, people have
street.
Home security cameras. You don't realize. People have home security Some. Cameras. So that's like, all it takes, though.
All it takes
what they'll
is
do
that
is
one.
A neighbor that has one, and they'll just check somebody on the street that has a home security. They'll check every car that drove by. And then they're going to, that's what they'll do.
Well, maybe this guy's scouting out the neighborhoods.
But
to
you
see.
Wouldn't know who has a camera on their driveway.
But unless you were really thorough.
Aren't these packages
I don't know
being delivered by normal mail, or are they being delivered?
I don't think so, because if a normal mail, those guys would be blowing up.
No, it's when the packages are opened. They're not set on a timer. It's when the packages are opened.
Yeah, but I would still think they could easily blow up while the, these post office guys, man.
I don't know. I mean, it's pretty
lines.
Intricate.
I mean, but also, if he or she, the bomber, has now changed their MO where there was packages, and then this time they say they're examining
the
a backpack and there was a tripwire.
Yeah. So here's the thing. There has to be a drop-off place. So even if they're going through the mail, they're dropping off the mail at some point. So you go to the route and you find out where these packages are being picked up, and then you check those.
I mean, but
they're going
to
catch this guy.
If you go back to the Unabomber, that donk was hopping on a bus. He would make his bombs in his cabin.
That was 20 years ago. That was different.
Yeah, but he would take a bus like to San Francisco and then drop the packages there.
I don't think he could get away with it. I don't think he could get away with it as easily.
It would be tougher in modern times.
Yeah,
with
there are cameras
technology
everywhere.
And cameras.
I mean, if the guy continues to do it, you're right. They'll
catch him.
Yeah.
They'll look at everything.
But
they'll look at a pattern.
What if he stops for a few months?
There's been four spots kind of all in the outskirts of Austin.
Drabby, I saw you raising your hand like a good boy.
None of the packages were delivered. They were all placed overnight by the suspect.
Okay, right. So they weren't handled by the U.S.
Right, so he's going to be driving by, and there's going to be someone's house or something with a security camera, and he's going to be busted, hopefully before anyone else gets hurt.
So he's delivering in the middle of the night on a porch?
All were placed in front of residents' houses in the overnight hours.
Right.
Except for this last one.
Which one? Why? What time was that delivered?
No, it was on the side of the road. It wasn't delivered to a house.
The two men on the bikes, whether they were pushing the bike or riding the bikes, hit a tripwire on a sidewalk.
Right.
But you're right. It's crazy.
I couldn't.
I mean, I can't imagine living in Austin and seeing a package delivered.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, I'm not even sure. Did they allow the kids to go to school? Because I know in the middle of the night, they were like, don't even go outside at least until morning breaks. You know?
Yeah.
Because they wanted to sweep the area, which I don't know. How do you sweep a whole town?
What if you're expecting something from Amazon or you're expecting a package and you live in Austin?
You know what?
Wake up in the morning and it's sitting there.
It wasn't that long ago when all of us were getting our mail from buckets out the front curb. You're looking for white powder.
I mean, what do? You call? Is everyone that has package delivered, they just calling the cops right away?
I don't know.
Well, think about when you have a package delivered. It's never overnight. I've never had a package on my doorstep in the morning.
No, you're right. It's usually delivered.
That's true.
Late morning, early afternoon.
That's true. You use a little logic.
Although I've noticed.
I guarantee you, though, it doesn't look like a perfect Amazon box.
Look, sometimes you're not there when Amazon delivers it. They drop it off at the front door.
And then you might see it in the
morning. You come in through your garage, boom, you walk out. Like for me, I walk out the front door, but a lot of times come through the garage in the back.
The only time I go through the front door is if we have like a guest.
You know what I do a lot of times with the packages? I stumble onto it and I just throw it inside the house and I leave.
We get too many packages. It's so silly.
Tell me about it.
I get so silly.
I mean, now you have to call Jeremy Renner to have him come open your mail wearing your big bomb suit.
That's right. Hurt Locker.
It's scary.
I like to just order stuff just because it's so cool to get it later that day.
You just have tons of boxes chilling in your house.
Amazon boxes. Yeah. I mean, they're open and then they're all in the recycling bin. But yeah, I mean, I'd be shocked if we, I mean, you guys probably, right? 4 or 5 deliveries a week.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's always
Jeff Bezos loves me.
I've got minimum 2, yeah. Probably.
Oh, that's why Toys R Us is going out of business.
Of course. Yeah, why would you need it?
Heard all these different theories, please. Amazon is crushing everybody. Yeah.
So was it my Amazon is connected with my wife's? Yeah. So every time she orders something, I get a notification in my email.
You get bitter.
Every time I open my email and I see she's bought like a dog bone or a dog leash, I get so bitter.
I know, but it's better than her going to this. She's saving gas.
I you know how many dog leashes we have? You know how many dog toys we have?
Man, he sounds very spoiled.
Listen, you and I have had a talk during the breaks about the connecting between you and your wife. You need to. I thought last weekend was going to be the weekend. You told me it was going to be the weekend.
Oh, is he in a slump?
Dude.
It's extended?
I think he's in a slump.
I told him, if he didn't start giving it to her, somebody's going to. Better get after it. I don't know what you're doing over there. What kind of operation you're running? Didn't you say you guys had some big weekend planned?
Yeah, we did.
Go see the comedian or something?
Yeah, we saw T.J. Miller on Saturday.
Oh, don't we have
By the way, how was T.J. Miller?
He was good.
He was awesome in studio.
He was very nice.
Well, he was great at Draft House, too.
He just wanted to talk, so it was great.
Oh, he's a good dude.
He is really funny.
He's big.
He's a big dude.
He's a big kind of gangly dude. He kind of walks. I didn't know if he was doing a bit. He kind of walks almost like
he's
big
and goofy, and he's just.
Did you notice that?
He's really good.
He kind of after
you
said
also
that.
He's one of those guys. Oh, I heard about the
Thursday. You wouldn't respect
the little
him
person.
He was short,
yeah, dude,
four.
He was hilarious.
Well, was he short or was he a little person?
He's a little person.
He was a dwarf. He's a dwarf.
He's a dwarf.
It Brad Williams.
Yes, he's really funny. You would have liked him.
Well,
but can I do my TJ Miller?
I've seen his urinals jokes. Did he talk about the urinals?
No, I saw that online. Yeah, don't use my urinal. Yeah, that's right. My urinal. No, but I'm going to do my TJ. People didn't get to see this. Our listeners didn't get to see it. But I saw it when. And by the way, butt nice. But this TJ Miller is probably about 6'4".
He's tall, dude.
Tall, strong. Like he's a thick guy too. You know what I mean? This was how he walked out of here.
Giddy up? I didn't notice that.
Why? That's just the way he walks, or was he being goofy?
He's just one of those artsy guys, man.
I think he's trying to be goofy because, like,
it looks
we
like
did
Merton
a picture,
Hanks.
And then somebody else wanted to take a picture. Goes, all right, let's all crouch.
Or that's how I should jump because this is the EB normal walk.
Yeah, the shuffle.
It's not that different.
Right.
Except it's slower.
Hey, you're going to need to walk
really
faster
good.
In the airport today.
And, by the way, on the air, he became infatuated with AWOD because of his bracket. Which apparently was a drab and Valdez idea, by the way.
The movie bracket deal?
His movie bracket, and he started riffing because AWOD called it Benji Button and some others. And so then he invited AWOD to come, like, the way that it was portrayed was to come hang out with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So AWOD went to the show. Did he meet T.J. Miller? Not at all. Oh. I'm sure T.J. Miller really cared about him.
Apparently not.
So
the infatuation
didn't last
very long.
Adam, you went to the show, correct?
He's not in here.
Yeah,
you went to the show. Valdez went as well. I think Valdez got backstage.
Yeah, I went to the early show, And me and my wife got to say what's up to DJ after the show.
Meanwhile, Adam, who was convinced that TJ actually cared about him and liked him, went backstage, and TJ had already left.
Yeah, he left.
He's got his life to live. He's really going to wait around for AWOD.
But TJ invited him, personally, so that's why I think he liked him.
At least he got to go to the show, right?
Yeah, at least he got to go to the show.
You realize, yeah, Jason, when TJ comes into town,
you
he goes
had
to his old fraternity
at
GW?
Oh, I didn't even realize he went to GW.
Yeah. He went to, like, the frat house.
Is he from the area?
No, he's from Colorado.
Oh, okay.
Half scholarship. He explained it to us.
I mean, Office Christmas Party was a goofy movie, but he was really funny in that.
Yes. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan, joined right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline by Jerry Palm, bracketology expert for CBSSports.com. Good morning, Jerry.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Jerry. Thought it was a great first weekend. We were talking about it earlier with all of the upsets. How surprised were you? You're somebody that dives into all the numbers that UVA loses. I mean, you had to have been surprised, but of the one seeds, was it the most surprising, least surprising? Like, which of the one seeds did you least believe in?
Well, I had Virginia out earliest on my bracket, but that was more because of their Sweet 16 potential opponent, not their number 16 opponent. So, I don't know that it's least believing in any of them. I mean, I thought they were all really good, consistently good all year. That's why they were number one seeds. But you never really expect a 16 to beat a 1. UMBC was a team that probably should have been seeded higher, but Virginia still needs to be able to handle that game. And you have to give UMBC a lot of credit because they had a great game plan. They executed it perfectly. They got Virginia uncomfortable, got them undisciplined, and Virginia just does not function that way. Mm. And what a great moment for college basketball, though.
Do you think that Virginia has some sort of a fatal flaw the way Coach Bennett recruits and coaches? Do you think that this is going to be a problem unless he changes the way, you know, maybe pushes pace a little bit? Because if he faces a team, let's be honest, if he faces a team that shoots the ball really well in that particular game, the way they play, because all the possessions are limited.
They're more vulnerable than anybody else.
You can get beat, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think anybody can get beat. You know, he doesn't have the same caliber of player that a lot of the other teams have. He just doesn't. He's got his best NBA prospect is the six-man Hunter who got injured. Maybe Kyle Guy can play in the NBA, but you know, you're dealing with Duke, who's got a roster full of NBA guys. You're dealing with Carolina, who's got a bunch of NBA guys. So the style of play that they play is different, and it works for the personnel that he has. If he got, you know, maybe a different caliber of player, he could open things up a little bit. Or maybe he likes to recruit. This is the way he likes to coach, and he's recruiting to what he can sell. But I think that as long as there's more talented teams out there, and I think, by the way, anybody in the NCAA tournament, regardless of what style you play, can lose to a hot shooting team. Sometimes it's the other guy's day.
Right. Sure. It's true. But I think when you play that style.
But Jerry, he beat those teams. He beat Carolina twice.
Yeah, he beat them all year. He beat them all year.
Yeah.
And that's so, you know, if you could go 30 some games against the caliber of teams that they play, and you know, what they go 31-2 or something like that in the regular season,
mm-hmm.
why would you give up on that? There's no reason why that shouldn't work any differently in the NCAA tournament. It just sometimes it doesn't, because the regular season's a marathon and the tournament's a sprint, and you have one bad day in the tournament, you're done.
All right, so Kentucky's really starting to play well. They've won 9 of their last 10, 5 straight. So all these freshmen, they've got 8 freshmen and 4 sophomores, and they're all starting to play like juniors and seniors. And they've got some freaks athletically. Diallo is just a freak athletically. And the kind of the seas have parted now, like you mentioned, with those top 4 seeds in the South going down. And now they play Kansas State in Atlanta on Thursday. And on the other side, you got Loyola Chicago and Nevada. So how do you think those two games play out? And specifically, do you think Kentucky's the favorite now to get to the Final Four there?
Well, they definitely are, and not just because they're the higher-seeded team, but they're playing probably the best of any of those teams. And, you're right. Kentucky, it took them a long time to figure it out this season, but it looks like they probably have now. And I think part of their problem was, you know, they're the youngest team in Division I. they don't have anybody on that roster who can show these freshmen the ropes, show them the way through the grind of a conference play, and especially in an upgraded conference this year. And it just took forever for them to figure it out. Well, now they're getting to where they've got it figured out. Now they're actually in the worst position you can be in this NCAA tournament. You're wearing white white uniforms now, so that doesn't really work very well for most of these teams. But Kentucky is a clear favorite, I think, at this point in that region, and should be able to get through it. But you know, watch out for Nevada. You know, mm-hmm. Key State is capable. Loyola getting all the way through would be a bit surprising, but in this tournament, you know, would it really be that big of a surprise?
Right. No, it wouldn't. That's a great story, by the way, too, with Loyola Chicago, the 11 seed, getting out. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised they beat Nevada. Not at all.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Loyola has already beaten probably teams as good or better than Nevada. They won at Florida. They beat Miami. I mean, why, you know, they beat Tennessee. Why couldn't they beat Nevada? I mean, heck, they could even beat Kentucky. I mean, at this point, you know, all bets are off. You know, the number next to your name on the bracket doesn't mean anything anymore.
You're right.
At this point, it's just who does their stuff best. Everybody is capable of winning at this point.
I got to tell you, Jerry, Mick Cronin and Chris Mack they're not going to sleep well for weeks, especially Mick Cronin. When you're up 22 with 11:40 to play and you get outscored 32-8 to close out, I mean, he was so frustrated. You know, one of his best players fouled out on a stupid play. He really didn't know what direction to go to. The last possession was awful. They didn't even get a shot off. I mean, if you're Mick Cronin, how do you handle this one?
Not very well, probably. And it's funny because Cronin and Chris Mack are obviously intense rivals, mm-hmm. In the city of Cincinnati, and today they're brothers in misery. It's just it was stunning to watch. I mean, I was sitting in Nashville, that's one of the games I covered, and you just could not believe that a team that is as good defensively as Cincinnati is would give away a 22-point lead. And they gave away 16 of it, like, right off the bat. It took 4 minutes, mm-hmm. maybe, for Nevada to get 16-0 run going, and then Cincinnati was back on their heels. Nevada was the aggressor. They were getting rebounds, which, you know, Cincinnati had owned the glass to that point. They were hitting their shots. They were getting to the rim. They had Cincinnati just not knowing which way to look. And it was surprising that Cincinnati even took that punch to the mouth, let alone reacted as badly to it as they did.
Joined by Jerry Palm, bracketology expert for CBSSports.com. So in the Midwest, nobody's surprised Kansas and Duke are there. But Syracuse, a lot of people say it was the last team to get in the tournament.
They were the last team in.
They make the Sweet 16, and they're going to match up against Duke. How do you see that playing out? Just seems like so many teams just have a problem when they see that matchup zone for the first time.
Yeah, but it won't be the first time for Duke. You know, that's a conference game for them. So they've seen it. They know it. This isn't Michigan State who, you know, has got a bunch of kids that don't know what to do against the zone and haven't probably seen much of a zone at all year, let alone that zone. But Michigan State just had a miserable day. They got a lot of good looks and hit nothing all day. Syracuse is going to have their hands full with Duke. Duke's the most talented team left in this tournament. They were actually the most talented team to start the tournament. I just don't see, you know, Syracuse has got nothing that they can do to surprise Duke at this point. They don't have the athletes to hang with Duke. It really should not be much of a game.
Jerry, Auburn lays an egg against Clemson. Clemson advances to take on Kansas, basically in their backyard in Omaha. Talk about that matchup and what happened to Auburn over the weekend.
Oof. Yeah, Auburn hasn't been the same since McLemore went out. It's been a struggle for them. He was just an important part of what they do, and they're way too guard-oriented to play Clemson. And you got to give Clemson credit because, you know, they lost Dante Grantham about a month and a half ago, and they've managed to survive that to get to the Sweet 16. I really thought that was the pod that could blow up with New Mexico State in there, but the two higher seeds won at least their first game. And, you know, Clemson's going to have their hands full with Kansas because Kansas is really good at every position on the floor, maybe not so much in the post, but Clemson doesn't really have someone who could take advantage of that. I like Kansas in that game, but Clemson should put up a fight.
Now, the way the brackets work out, Jerry, I mean, some of these regional finals and the semifinal matchup on the East-Midwest side might be the best games, because you've got Villanova, West Virginia, and Boston. You've got Texas Tech and Purdue, also in Boston. And we already just talked about those other games. But, man, Villanova, West Virginia could be a war. West Virginia's going to press all over the place. I think Villanova can handle it with their guards. West Virginia went through a stretch in their schedule in the regular season where defensively teams were figuring them out and they were giving up easy buckets. But I don't know. They've been playing really well. Who do you like in the Villanova-West Virginia game?
Wow, Villanova's looked so good early. And I'm actually going to be in Boston, so I'm looking forward to that regional, especially the Purdue guy, because I get to see the Boilermakers, but or what's left of them.
Right.
The Villanova, I think, is really well equipped to handle what West Virginia brings. It's different because you haven't seen it before, but they've got a lot of time to prepare. I think West Virginia is tougher in the second game of a weekend when you don't really have a lot of time to work on the press. But I think Villanova, you know, should be able to handle it. And obviously that's the key to beating West Virginia. I mean, I think Villanova can defend them. So it's just a matter of, can you bring the ball up the floor? Don't give them a lot of runouts and, you know, things like that. Then I think Villanova is disciplined and handles the ball well enough and has got the experience in order to do that. So I like Villanova. But West Virginia always has a shot.
So you mentioned Purdue. Haas did not play yesterday in the Butler game with the fractured elbow. Is he going to be out for the rest of the tournament, or do they think he can go against Texas Tech?
Well, unless they can – the NCAA did not approve the brace that Purdue had put on his elbow. He's still pretty limited even with that brace. If they can find a brace that will work, I could see them using him in a situation perhaps late in a half or late in a game where you put him in for defense and take him out for offense, because he can't do any, he can't shoot really. You know, he's not much of an offensive weapon at this point, but he could go out and probably play defense for a possession or two if you need him to. I don't think you're going to get much out of Isaac Haas for Purdue though.
Does that doom them? Because
not
he's
necessarily
out?
It makes him different. You know, Matt Harms is a different kind of guy. He's 7'3". He's actually an inch taller, but he's more athletic and can defend on the perimeter a little bit better on the pick and roll, which has always been a problem for Haas. Harms is not as good an offensive player as Haas. Purdue won't play as much inside out or hardly any with Harms in there. And then they bring Jaquill Taylor off the bench, who's really, you know, an end-of-the-bench kind of guy, but 6'11", redshirt junior, who came in to Purdue with the rest of the senior class and has had injury problems his whole career. But he's a pretty good athlete and gave him some really good minutes when they played in the World University Games way back in August. So, you know, that Purdue should be okay. I mean, the one guy they can't lose is Vince Edwards. He's the guy that's irreplaceable because he does everything. Purdue functions, but they function differently without Isaac Haas. And obviously, you know, getting used to playing like that pretty much all the time is something that Purdue needs to be able to work on in practice now, which they didn't really get a chance to do in Detroit.
Who is Jerry Palm's updated Final Four now?
Well, my original Final Four had Virginia and Arizona and Carolina, so those are gone. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm going to have to go with Kentucky in the South, Gonzaga in the West. I picked Duke to win it all at the beginning, so I'll stick with them. I had Purdue in the Final Four at the beginning, but I don't think they can beat Villanova without Isaac Haas, so I'll go with Villanova.
Hmm.
Nice. Duke, Villanova,
I gotta tell
Gonzaga,
you, Jerry, we've been talking about the Michigan-Houston game, and I don't understand why coaches will not guard the ball with an athletic, long kid when there's 3 seconds left and a team has to go the length of the court.
I guess there's two schools of thought on that. I mean, one is, you know, it gives you an extra man maybe to defend the pass a little further out when you have time to react to it. But, I mean, Purdue put 7'3" Matt Harms on the inbounds against Butler, and they got a good look anyway at the end of the game. So, you know, it doesn't always stop it. But my personal philosophy would be to put somebody big on the ball.
I'm not saying you can't get a good look. It just makes it harder to get a good look.
It makes it harder to get the ball inbound.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Jerry, appreciate the time. It's Jerry Palm. You can check him out.
Thank you, Jerry.
CBSSports.com.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right,
buddy.
Have fun in Boston.
Thank you.
Love Beantown. Fun town. Haven't been there since the Sam Adams tour, but whenever that was.
We played wiffle ball at that thing?
We did, yes.
We did a home run contest, and we won.
How come that guy doesn't like us anymore?
We won free beer for a year.
Jim Cook?
He stayed away from radio advertising after the whole Sex and Sam thing for a while.
He got burned.
I think he's back in the game, maybe, but not like he used to be.
We should we should reach out. Jim was a great guy. Jim would come in there. He had his own bartender.
He's a good dude.
He was walking, talking, drunk. I mean, in a positive way. I mean, just
fun guy.
Always drinking.
And he's loaded. I don't mean like alcohol loaded. I mean like deep pockets loaded.
Yeah. It was fun, man. Yeah. It was a fun dude.
That was a good time. And we had free beer for a year. They literally would drop like 20 cases of Sam Adams to us.
Those are the salad days.
We were in our 20s.
Yep.
Free beer.
What happened to Jim Cook?
Bringing cases of beer home.
Jim Cook was our guy.
I would like to put the paddles to that relationship.
Cakes took most of them home.
Sure. Why wouldn't I?
Right, 2 a day.
Yeah. So there are economic choices in life
that we all make. Every day. Every second of every day.
Did I just make an economic choice?
You made an economic choice, and it's fine. You have the ability to make that economic choice.
I'll work hard.
Spent $64 to get a few extra inches of leg room.
Also to get out of the middle seat.
Okay,
so
that's kind of big.
It's pretty close to the perfect seat because I got the front row. So it's not first class. It's the first second, the nub class.
Right.
But the first row where you get the extra leg room.
So you have like
inside,
a little bit of a wall.
And I have the wall I can lean up against.
So you're on the window.
Window side, extra leg room. Mm. So if I have to pee, which of course I will, I'll be able to get up without disturbing too many people. And I'll have the extra leg room. And I'm not in the middle.
It's pretty good.
For $64, I work too hard. It's for $64. It's good. I think so. What?
Good
4 hours a day.
Way to work really hard that last interview.
I need to waste
him?
Some money, but,
what am I
but here's the thing. You have
I asked
the money.
Him a question, about, a couple or two about Virginia, and that was it.
Have the money to do it. The amazing thing to me is, and I hate bringing him onto the show, and he's not here, and Drab can actually tell the story. We don't need AWOD. But apparently Drab and AWOD hung out a little bit on Friday. Drab... wanted to get some clothes, get a new button-down shirt, and he went to South Moon Under.
Okay.
And apparently AWOD tagged along with him.
Do adults go there?
I think so.
All right.
So AWOD tags along with them. AWOD is broke.
Broke
and somehow
is a joke.
Spent over $200 in clothes.
What? Say I'm broke.
That's a terrible economic choice.
That he's subsidized by his mother and father. So, in other words, when he makes bad economic choices, I'm pretty sure
he gets bailed out.
Yes.
Well,
that's why he's a millennial loser.
He didn't know how to say no. By the way, he spent $220 on two items.
What were the two items?
Maybe he was showing off. Maybe now that he's going to go back and return it.
No, because he's been wearing those jeans for 4 straight days.
He's just getting his money's worth.
So he bought $100 jeans. I will say that his jeans do look better than Cakes' jeans, which, once again, he has the droopy jeans that EB
Again, I don't wear skinny jeans.
These are skinny jeans, right?
I mean, if you guys wear skinny jeans, that's fine. I just don't wear skinny jeans.
But I don't think there's a part of your ass
silly.
Which touches the jeans.
I mean, I'm feeling
what
it.
What ass?
Honestly, stand up. EB, do you think that
But you know what?
Touch?
I like your kicks. I don't know if you got those at TJ Silly, but I like those kicks.
Of course, my wife bought these for me. They're would never buy them. But
what kind of silly jeans are you wearing, Cakes?
I don't know. They're like Calvin Klein's. Okay. I don't know.
He always jones on your jeans.
He's joning. It's fine. I can handle it.
JP,
I know, but it annoys you. It annoys you.
Well, I don't care that much about the jeans that I wear.
I just think
maybe that's.
I just think you don't wear the right size. But anyway, whatever. Who cares?
No, it's just the style. He just wears baggy ass jeans.
I wear loose fit.
You have the ability to buy whatever jeans you want.
Just because you got big Bozak cakes.
Yeah. Whatever jeans you want, you can buy them. You can afford them.
Yeah.
If there's one guy who can't afford buying $100 jeans,
it's that guy.
It's Adam
Is Adam team. Wearing the fancy jeans today? Come in here, stupid. Let me see your jeans.
Let's see these $100 jeans.
They look like silver
tabs. They're probably highlighting your...
They look like silver
You're probably top. Highlighting your muffin top, though. That's the problem. Yeah.
I mean, they're nice jeans. It's fine. What brand
are
they?
$100?
I mean, I'll be honest. You could go to
Turn
Old
around.
Navy and get a pair that looks like that for $20.
No, what kind,
don't
what
do
kind
that.
Are they? What you kind are
see
they?
The tag, Rick.
Huh? South Moon Under?
They're the house brand?
Yeah. I mean,
South
I don't
Moon
know.
Under is a little pricey.
I guess they look good. I like your shoes, all right. The T-shirt's good.
She walked in there and she goes, "Oh my god!" Because she knows she listens to the Junkies, so she knows Adam.
So
the manager at the store does.
He already knew her. In
she
dance.
Knows who he was when we went in there. She knew who
female
he was.
Female listener.
She goes, "Oh my god!"
Whoa, whoa, whoa! He didn't know that she listened to the show.
No, he was caught off. he was caught by surprise.
How did the junkies come up when you walk in a store?
I've been there 100 times, and I've talked to her before.
Yeah.
And so Adam went in with me, and we know each other.
It's Trav's go-to.
So you go to stores where people know you, where you can get hooked.
I've never been hooked, I don't think. Okay. I just like the store. So I go in there. She goes, oh, my God, Adam, what are you wearing? And he goes, I'm going to a house party this weekend. I need a new shirt. She's just an idiot.
And you probably dropped T.J. Miller's name. Right. Gonna hang out
probably,
with T.J. Miller.
Yeah. So she goes, well, you can't go wearing what you're wearing. Right. Let's find you a shirt. And so that's all he wanted. And the shirt was like way over $100. It was way too much for him.
Right.
And she goes, all right, now let's get you some jeans. And then his face started turning white
because
he didn't have any
sweating.
Money. Yeah.
Right.
But he doesn't know how to say no.
Right.
So he goes, okay.
So he got bullied into buying $100 plus jeans.
Then she tried to get him some sneakers. Yeah.
Really?
He was wearing sneakers, and he was able to turn those down.
Yeah. Sucker written all over him.
Big sucker, yeah.
Right.
Lollipop.
Yeah. What about maybe you should take the shirt back and just keep the jeans.
No, the shirt is silly. I thought it was a hook job. I mean, it seems like, hey, we come in.
Oh, you thought you were getting silly.
Yeah, we come in. Oh, it's Drab from the Sports Junkies, and he brought his little friend.
Right.
That actually is the worst situation. Years ago, I thought I was getting a hook job through the show. A guy invited me to do Krav Maga classes, which Brett used to do.
Yeah.
He said,
suckered.
Come over, I'll do a free class, whatever. Next thing I know, I was in a room signing a contract.
Yeah.
Then it got really awkward.
I was like, oh.
It's difficult to say
again,
no in those situations.
He makes terrible financial decisions.
What's going to happen when your credit card gets maxed out? Because I'm guessing your limit is low. What is your credit card?
I actually just got a credit card for the first time. I needed to, you know, save up some credit.
Was it $1,000?
No,
it's up some credit.
My credit line is so nubs, Lurch.
What is it?
$500.
Lowest limit ever.
Maxed out.
That's not even a third of my rent.
And that's your funniest thing. Yeah. So you're 25 years old, you have a $300 limit?
Yeah.
Hold on, 25 is your first credit card ever?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I didn't have student loans, so.
Team nubs.
Yep, you're the captain
of that.
Do
you actually get bailed out? EB hypothesizes that you get bailed out by your parents.
No. I mean, I live nubs. I mean, I pay rent, and then
when you're at a moment like this where you actually have bills now that you actually cannot pay?
Well, no,
I can't pay.
Wigs.
I mean, well, look, it's like it's halfway through the month. I'll get paid again.
Hey, on Saturday night when you went to the T.J. Miller show,
yeah,
and you were convinced that T.J. really liked you and you were going to hang out.
Right.
We did tell the audience this, but can you explain what happened? And I'm guessing you wore your fancy shirt.
I did.
Did you wear your new outfit, new jeans, new shirt?
Did you take a girl with you?
No, I took one of my good friends and his wife.
Right.
Oh.
A third wheel.
Yeah.
God, your life is awful. All right, so then you take them, and you tell them you're going to meet T.J. Miller tonight probably, right? We're going to hang with T.J. probably before the show.
Did you happen to cross paths with Valdez and went to the earlier show and did talk to T.J. Miller?
I actually invited him because we were the early show, and he was going in. And so me and my wife, we went to a spot nearby, and I invited him to swing by. He never did.
Mm. Valdez is so nubs. They went right next door.
What's wrong with that?
I know.
Isn't that usually what you would do? What are you supposed to go across town?
I mean, there
why wouldn't you have a beer next to the place that you're going
to? Well, hold
on.
So, I don't understand. Why did you get aced out? He left you a ticket, right? Or he just put your name on the list?
No, when I got there, you know, I talked to the guy.
Pete.
Yeah, and he brought us in through a secret door, skipped the line.
Right, but so I thought TJ invited you. I thought TJ invited you.
Yeah, but I mean, it turns out he invited like 45
yeah,
people.
Nice.
He went to GW.
I understand. That's what I said at the time. I'm just trying to figure out how it devolved from Valdez had him starring in a sitcom with
him.
Yeah,
I thought Adam would be an office Christmas party too.
Yeah. I should have gone to the early show because by the late show, the audience was hammered. He just wanted to get out of there.
Uh huh.
And there was no chance to, you know.
So
schmooze.
He did go backstage. The problem was TJ
Miller was
left.
Gone.
You know, already left. When did you see TJ?
I saw TJ after the first show.
Because he's just milling around saying hi to people?
Yeah. I talked to Pete, and Pete said, you know, you want to say hi to TJ? And I said, that'd be great.
Yeah.
And he said, well, let me just go check and see if it's something he wants to do.
Right.
And so he said, yeah.
It'd be ultimate humiliation if he said no.
Well, you never know after he's done his show. You don't want to talk to anyone or not.
Yeah.
And so he goes, yeah, come on. So we were talking to him, me and my wife, for like 10, 15 minutes. He was doing a shtick with my wife about like litter box shtick.
Right.
You guys are talking cats?
Yeah, he was running some jokes by us. Yeah.
Your whole life is dominated by your pet, isn't it, Valdez?
Dude, he was walking around so grumpy this morning.
Forgot you had a cat.
I go, what happened?
You'd be amazed at what the pet does to your life.
I believe it. He was walking around so grumpy this morning, and I go, dude, you all right? He goes, yeah. I go, you look miserable. He goes, didn't sleep. I go, why? You know, the dog jumping up and down on me all night. Couldn't sleep at all.
Why doesn't your dog go to sleep when the lights go out? I don't get
what
it.
What do you mean? Well, he does go to sleep.
He
but the
jumped
problem,
on me.
The problem is that he...
Hold on me.
He's just a massive...
That house has to smell.
Species.
Oh, it's got to be.
So much slobber
like hair
around.
Everywhere.
Oh. Yeah, he is moving
his
all around.
The fur tilts me.
And he weighs 120 pounds.
I know, he's just massive.
What's your cat's name again?
Kitty and Baby Kitty.
Yeah. Yeah,
pretty
you got
original.
A zoo over there.
Yeah, basically.
Those are bad days, by the way. You bought a zoo. I'll say Valdez, bad economic, really bad economic choices, but you're right behind him.
You mean AWOD. Bad
yeah,
economic. AWOD,
sorry.
Right.
But Valdez is right behind him because that pet would cost so much money.
Yeah, I think we can handle the expense of
yeah,
it.
We
it's
have
just it's
pet
ruining
insurance
his life.
Too.
That's all.
Yeah, it's just my quality of life has gone down.
Yeah,
not necessarily cost
bad
of life.
Choices then.
I mean, you're not even hitting skins anymore. I mean, it's over.
So I laud you for having pet insurance in case something yeah. catastrophic
out
goes down.
What is the slump at, if you had to guess?
Well, what he told me sounds like 4 weeks.
No, it was three.
That ain't nothing. Believe me, life ain't that bad without hitting skins. It's not.
At least Jason's on everything else. Jason's approaching 50. You're like, you don't even have children yet. You
how old
nothing.
Are you? Are you 30?
I'm 30.
He's 30.
Oh, you are 30?
Yeah.
When was your birthday?
August 3rd.
Did you have a surprise 30th or anything? Did your wife throw you a surprise
Zippy.
Party?
Zippy.
Who has a surprise 30th? Nobody does that. To turn 30?
They don't have surprise 30th.
They do.
30's
they
a
do.
Big one.
30's a big they milestone?
Do. Yes, Richie.
I think he kind of gets slept on.
I've secretly
well,
kind of...
just because you're really old. You forgot about
you're
it.
Probably
I've
right.
secretly hinted for a surprise party for 25 years.
Oh, you do want one?
I'd be sized for one.
Oh, I don't. I wouldn't like.
I this. Would not be sized.
I told my
sized.
Wife.
I said, I don't want people jumping out from behind a
shocker
sofa.
Cakes would be surprised at something social.
Yeah, I don't want any sort
I
of surprise party.
You know why I told my wife?
You all get all your friends together.
My wife probably would want to throw a 50th for me.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're talking about her 50th.
Right. My brother-in-law just had his 50th.
But I told her, I was like, if you throw a surprise 50th for me, I'm leaving town. For probably for a couple
hey,
years.
Be
but why, just because you're depressed about it?
Well, it was just I'd be depressed about it. Plus,
shuttle bus
do you know how expensive
yeah.
a big party would be?
Who cares? What are you going to die
who's,
soon?
Who's
you're
paying
50.
For it? I'm paying for it.
You're going to be dead soon. You're 50.
You guys are just jumping.
It doesn't matter.
I'm hoping I'm not
years.
Dead for 30 years.
All right.
Knock on something.
You're probably going to die.
I mean, 2 years.
EB's 48.
Okay.
You need something to live on in those 30 years, Ricky.
You got money. I seen your accounts.
No, I don't.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.